I thought it would be intriguing a little bit. I think, as is very well understood, the passing of Chaim Kanievsky was obviously a major, major loss for Klal Yisrael. And I think, as sometimes happens, that there is in the immediate follow-up a lot of discussion about the loss, a lot of discussion about what it means that there was a person whose mastery of Torah was so great that is now no longer with us, what it means and what was exactly his degree of expertise like. I thought it would be somewhat beneficial in this slot, although it's atypical to what we normally do here, to reflect a little bit based on the writings of Chaim Kanievsky and some of them in Piyush Shmua that is out there, talk a little about some practical advice for success in Talmud Torah, that so much not just learning about him, but learning the things which he said that people should do. Being able to go through a little bit in terms of, he spent a lot of time, and I think this is an interesting thing to point out, maybe we'll come back to this a little bit later. On the one hand, there's definitely a lot written about how Chaim Kanievsky's Sfarim tend to be focused on those areas of Torah that are somewhat more esoteric, those areas of Torah that are learned much less frequently. How many of us have heard of Maisa about a grasshopper landing on a window? You know, so many of the Torahs that relate to Inyan Yisroyim or Kachim or Machza Shekla or Kedusha Chodesh, to so many of the areas of Torah. And in that sense, many, many of Chaim Kanievsky's Sfarim are really primarily geared towards people that, if not Talmidei Chachamim, certainly in the ballpark of focused in a particular kind of Talmud Torah. Sfarim written be'ian on Egla Arufa are not always Nachlas HaKlal. The masses don't always flock to go through that, you know, in whatever kind of a way. And many of his Sfarim are written for big Talmidei Chachamim. What I think is sometimes not recognized as much, and I think you find a similar phenomenon with the Chafetz Chaim, that there are really some Sfarim that Chaim Kanievsky put out that are actually written not for the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, that were written as popular works. The most famous of those, undoubtedly, I think only by looking around the Beis Medrash and what people have been having in their hands the last couple of days, although that's certainly not a systematic study of the popularity of the works of Chaim Kanievsky. But Orchos Yosher, which is a Musar Sefer, which he wrote, presumably, and he's explicit about this in the introduction, because he thought that in our generation, a particular work could be written that wasn't written for the biggest Talmidei Chachamim in the world. It was collecting a lot of Ma'amari Chazal on particular topics, but that was written as more of a popular work. He also wrote a sefer called Shona Halachos, which is really sort of an overview and summary of a lot of Shulchan Aruch Mishneh Berurah with the Chazon Ish, which was also written really as a guide for those that have gone through Shulchan Aruch Mishneh Berurah, want more of a summary and the like. And he wrote some Sfarim that were very much geared towards the masses, towards those of us, I guess us. And one of the things which he speaks about in a variety of different contexts relates to success in Talmud Torah and particular strategies or particular etzos or perspectives that may be beneficial for a person that is trying to be and trying to grow in learning in whatever way they can. I imagine it goes without saying that he was certainly more qualified than probably anyone to speak about success in Talmud Torah. Seems to have been all good in that category. So we are, it becomes all the more worthwhile as a result. I'll try and share some what I think are intriguing anecdotes if we have time. I apologize, I'm going to have to step out a little bit earlier. But let me begin. I'm going to go in really no particular order, but I'll try to mention 10 pieces of advice that Chaim Kanievsky shared. Again, either in his writings, primarily in his writings, some which he wrote explicitly, some which I'm inferring from when he writes an introduction to Sfarim. And then a couple of things that were more Baal Peh. Let me begin in the following way. Number one, in Orchos Yosher in the beginning, in pages 9 to 10, Test to Yud, he has an amazing observation. We're going to have a couple of observations during Chaim Kanievsky about the topic of the challenge of learning Torah and how hard it is. But he writes in Orchos Yosher there, he elaborates a little bit also in Orchos Yosher in pages Tzadi and Tzadi Aleph, also later on in the Sefer. Now, when it comes to learning Talmud Torah, so a lot of the challenge of learning is consistency. That it's very, very hard day in, day out to cultivate certain habits and to be able to maintain certain standards. Reb Chaim in his life, you know, they put in a sefer, we'll quote later, on the chovos of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, going through his daily schedule and what he learns came out every day of the year in Shulchan Aruch, in Bavli, in Yerushalmi, in Mishneh Berurah, you know, really sort of going through it. He certainly excelled, you know, in that area of consistency. And he points out that on the one hand, it is true that it's always a mochama. If you look at the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Behei, it seems like it's always a mochama. It's always somewhat challenging to maintain a degree of consistency. But the first thing which he points out, which again I think is an important piece of advice to know, is va'emes husha ikir hakoshi hu hahergel, that the greatest challenge is that challenge of consistency. But aval achar shenisragel af shel olam yesh milchama mikomakom ein hamilchama kasha kolkach. That sometimes it's the initial acquisition of a habit, it is getting into things a little bit. It is being able to sit and learn day in and day out. That is all the more that is hard. But once you cultivate those habits, once you build a degree of consistency, so it may be challenging, but points out Chaim Kanievsky, it really does get easier. It's still a battle, but it gets easier. And sometimes it's a very important thing to know in the beginning of a process, when things are a little bit more challenging, that it is challenging in the beginning. Rashi writes in Parshas Yitro, Kol Haschalos Kashos. Rashi quotes the idea that the beginnings are always harder. It's always harder. But once a person does make a degree of progress, so then that already is, you can build a little bit. The second point, which I think is an intriguing one, talking about success in Talmud Torah, is sort of the flip side of that. This is Rosh Yosher there on pages Yud Yud Aleph, which I think is very intriguing. He says, you know, there's something called Sicha Betela. There's something called speaking, and it's not so focused in Talmud Torah. Points out Reb Chaim Kanievsky, quoting a little bit of a well-known vort from Reb Aaron Wolkin, he quotes from In the Name of the Gra, that when Chazal tell us that when there's Memches Dvarim Shatar Nichnes Bahem, that there are 48 things that, in Perek Vav of Perek Yavos, 48 traits, 48 characteristics necessary for acquiring Torah. So one of them is Miut Sicha. Miut Sicha means that a person doesn't spend as much time in conversation, that a person minimizes their conversation. Points out some of the Achronim in the name of the Gra, and this is the second idea, kind of the idea of never speaking Sicha Betela. So that's an idea which is found by what he calls Bali Madrega Gedola. There are these huge people that never speak Sicha Betela, like the Gra at the end of his life was able to sort of like calculate like how many, like, you know, seconds or moments we're not focused in Torah learning. Point out, can you ask you though, that for the vast, vast majority of people, so miut sicha, the way some of the Achronim quote maybe the Gra and others, doesn't mean to minimize your sicha as much as possible, but it's actually talking about the positive value for Talmud Torah of at least miut sicha, of having some sicha in which you are taking a break and you are schmoozing and you're having a nice, pleasant conversation. That sometimes it is the breaks, it is the ability to converse with others that is incredibly important for real success in Talmud Torah. That's important to at least have some time in which you're engaging in nice, pleasant conversations with others. If a person learns so straight and so intensely and they have no breaks at all, then what's going to happen? Daito tisvalvil alav, that a person's going to have a very hard time. They're going to go crazy a little bit. And it's going to be really hard. So while the first Nakuda is a very intriguing one, it's a little bit challenging and it's very hard to build consistency, but it's harder in the beginning than a person cultivates good habits and starts to click. The second idea, which is, I think, a surprising one coming from him in many ways, is the healthy nature of miut sicha. That it's important that a person, at the end of the day, a person's coming to their schedule, and I see the chovos from Chaim Kanievsky, and I'm like, you know, I got this. That if a person is cognizant of the fact that miut sicha is a holy miut sicha, that's a miut sicha which Chazal speak about as far as bitula zoe kiyuma, as far as structuring and building things, I think certainly a very important nekuda there. The third sort of piece of advice is an intriguing give and take. There's a sefer called Derech Torah, where they basically just asked him like a million questions about learning, and some of them are really intriguing. So this, I think, is, I happen to enjoy elements of this give and take. It's in source number 7 on the sheet. What is the hardest mesechta in Shas? Third time, Kanievsky, Olos. Olos is the hardest. Chazal speak about Negam and Olos being very difficult. Mesorah, I think they quote there in the safe in the footnotes. Chaz Nishto, maybe the third paragraph of Shabbos is very, very difficult. Well, the Shittas that are there. Okay, that's the hardest. What is the easiest mesechta in all of Shas? Ein mesechas kala. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. I think that's helpful sometimes. I'll tell you why. Statements like that are either demoralizing or very comforting. Sometimes it's demoralizing because you're like, whoa, there's no such thing as an easy mesechta. Whoa. On the other hand, sometimes there's something important about being able to know and being able to appreciate that when it comes to Talmud Torah, there's limitless depth in everything that we learn. And sometimes there's a phenomenon, I think this is an important idea, there's a phenomenon that there are things where we focus on very intensely. A person's learning Nashat, the Zikin. I'm learning, what are we learning? Ksubis. Person's learning, I should know that better. Person's learning Bab Mitzir, Bab Abasar, Bab Kama. And a person's investing very, very intensely in that. And sometimes there are other things that you say, you know what? There isn't that much there. It's like the phenomenon sometimes of before Purim, and you're learning sugyas that are relevant to Inyane, you know, Mesachas Megillah, and you're like, this is like an easy Mesachta. Like, okay, whatever, I can get the bit. It's Mesachas Kala, and that there's a certain seriousness with which a person can take every Mesachta, which can also be very beneficial. It's one of my favorite forts, I think, of Gershenfeld. You have a connection, right, to Gershenfeld? I think of Gershenfeld said that way when he opened his yeshiva. He asked Moshe Shapira for a Torah. It's one of my favorite Torahs. I don't know that many like this. And he asked Moshe Shapira for a Torah that should define his yeshiva. Like, what's a Torah really to inculcate and to give over? So Moshe Shapira said an amazing thing. The word Shamayim, the Gra understood. Rashi speaks about what's the root, the etymology of the word Shamayim. So the Gra understood that Yud Mem at the end of a word connotes plural. So it's Shams. It's many Shams. That Shamayim has many theirs. Many theirs. So Moshe Shapira said, Torah is referred to, the way Chazal at least interpret the Psukim, that Torah is referred to as Lo B'Shamayim Hi. So what does it mean that Torah is Lo B'Shamayim Hi? That when a person learns sometimes, so if I learn Meseches Ksubis, so I'll say, Ksubis is good, but there, when I learn Shabbos, that's like very important. When I learn Shabbos, there, Shamayim. So that's going to be, that's Halach L'Maisa, that's really critical. And when a person learns Meseches Chulin and Halach L'Maisa, he'll say, this is important, but it's like Halacha Maisa. When I get to Yevamos, Sham, that's where it becomes really, really important. Or a person's learning Maseches Megillah or Maseches Brachos, and they say, this is a little bit easier, but Sham, it becomes very important. There, it becomes important. So Rosh Shpira, the most important Torah to give over to your Talmidim is Torah is Lo B'Shamayim Hi. That Torah is not defined by there. If you want to be successful in Torah, what you're learning now is really critical. What you're learning right now is definitional. That's part of the idea is there aren't easy Masechtas. It's something which demands a good degree of work, but it's not so simple. It isn't really so easy always to find out, and everything therefore requires a degree of focus and a degree of clarity. I think we've mentioned so far three things so far.
Yeah.
Okay, number four. Okay. Much as it's true that there's no such thing as an easy masechta, they do quote something amazing. In the Sefer, they put out, this is not in his writing, of Hachovo Shulchan Kanevsky, they have mices in the back. They point out something interesting. This is in page 72 there, if you are so inclined, that he said that one time they wanted, Reb Chaim Kanevsky was up to, they thought, Meseches Kiddushin in his Chovo, so they went to bring him a Kiddushin. So Reb Chaim said, no, it's okay, I already finished my Chovos for the day. I've already learned the Kiddushin. And they said, how is that possible that you already covered so much ground in Kiddushin? He said, no, it's Pashut. He said, when I was younger in the Yeshiva Tiferes Tzion, the Yeshiva there asked us to be mekabel upon ourselves a certain amount of Torah to master over Ben Azmanim. So I was mekabel upon myself to learn Kiddushin Bal Peh, but I wasn't successful. I only made it through the first half, 40 blot. Only made it through the first 40 blot, but those 40 blot I'm holding in really, really well. I learned it when I was young, and because of those 40 blot, I learned really well. I was able to cover a lot more ground. He said, also, the easiest thing for him to learn is Perek Eli Metziyas and Bav Metziyah, because that's the first thing that he learned in Cheder, so he remembers it really well. Okay, how old was he with the Kiddushin thing? So they say he was about 10 years old when he did those first 40 blot. Okay, so there's lots to talk about, but it's intriguing. Heinzman, yeah. Sure. There's Ben Azmanim, start now. There's not Ben Azmanim part, but there's a, but... What I think is intriguing there, which I think is sort of the is an important idea, has to do with it's all what we learn when we're young often sticks with us. What we learn when we're young gears to the opposite. What we learn when we're young often sticks with us, and it's an amazing thing. Much as he's mastered, so much to take advantage of years when we are younger to learn certain things very, very well, that we're able to build a certain connection and take advantage of that. Of that time. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I don't remember. I think I remember all the Gemara I learned by the time I was 10. I, or say it differently, I've not forgotten any Gemara I learned at the age of 10. I think I'm still betting 1,000 because I don't think I opened the Gemara yet at that point in time. But there is a but at minimum, you know, the initial learning I think can be very, very beneficial when we are younger. The next idea, this is number 5.
Yeah.
Okay, the next idea I think is also intriguing. We'll go back to his writings in a second. But this is also in the Chovos as follows. There is this tendency, especially when we are younger, to want to cover a massive amount of ground, to want to cover so much ground, just learn hundreds and hundreds of blot, and to be able to feel like, oh my gosh, I saw all Shas. And they say that when they asked Chaim Kanievsky once, this is in the Sefer Chovos, page 54 to 55, when they asked him when he was younger, people said to him, is it kedai for me to get in the habit of learning 8 blot a day? You know, like, would that be kedai just to get in the habit? Like, I'll be able to think quicker, and is that what I should do? So first he said, if you already learn through Shas, then maybe it's just far like that. But if not, if you learn it without understanding it, so there's no real toelas. And sometimes in the quest to cover massive amounts of ground, a person gets his orus, you know, how much there is. Or sometimes you're at a seam of someone who's around your age and is on like thousands of blot of gemara, you know, or whatever it is. Sometimes it's important to remember that learning which is done with Havana, learning which is done with understanding. So that's often the basis. Once you have that and it's established, so then I can start covering a lot more ground and moving a bit, you know, a lot quicker. But it's important in our learning to not feel massive pressure to cover, you know, huge amounts of ground in which we won't be able to understand that which we are doing well, but to be able to understand it becomes so important. Because if we can't understand it well, we won't remember it well. If we don't understand it well, it doesn't have the same goal or have the same function. Even though he points out that the Gemara in Bava Mori Katan Yidaf Yates sounds like there is value in this, the way he interprets the Gemara, in fact, there is not. And in that sense, I think certainly the idea of learning Behavana plays a major role. We're now up to number. I'm sorry, my numbers are messed up on my sheet. I just apologize for it. It's sloppy. Number 6, I think, is intriguing. Chaim wrote a sefer called Kiryas Melech, which was an attempt at going through. Many of us know when the Rambam wrote, when the Rambam wrote Mishnah Torah, the Rambam did not tell us the makoros of everything where he is quoting. The Rambam does tell us that when he doesn't write Yerali, that we can make the assumption that everything he's quoting does have a makor. But Nosei Kelim often struggle to find what exactly the makor is for a shita of the Rambam. Chaim, when he was very young, pretty young, put out a sefer called Kiryas Melech. There have been a couple editions of it, which are his as he was learning Rambam, so he would write down the Mekoros. He'd write down the Mekoros of things in Mishnah Torah. That was a letter that came out. It's like an interesting thing, different worlds, and sort of like praising Chaim Kanievsky post his Patira. So by Chabad, so there was a letter put out through the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe requested the sefer. This is decades ago, because the Rebbe spent a lot of time in Rambam, and Rechaim apparently had amassed and collected all these Mekoros of the original sources of Rambam. It's an important sefer in going through, and it happens to be it's breathtaking what he was able to do. What I think is intriguing is what he writes in the Hakdama about how the sefer came to be. He writes it like this. I was learning Rambam, and while I was learning Rambam then, I wasn't learning it like that each sugya really be'ed. That wasn't what I was doing. I was not even originally planning on publishing this. I was doing it for myself, that as I was learning, coming across things, so I wrote things down where I thought the Mekoros were, but I wasn't learning it, you know, really be'ian at that particular time. He says it's possible that I made mistakes, it's possible that certain things are not going to be as worthwhile, and I wasn't sure if I should even put it out, but there was something else coming out then, and my father told me, the stipler, that I can put it out like this. But I think it reflects a couple of ha'aras as far as his own style of learning. Number one, while he was learning, not just like an Ian, did he have really good notes, but he wrote down notes even while he was learning not be Ian, all those things. As he was going down learning the Rambam, so he got in the habit of taking notes. I think sometimes when we learn, there is a phenomenon of in an Ian share, I sit there and I write notes. Sometimes in the Bikiya, it's like, can I read it through or not? And the ha'aras are the thoughts or the references which may come up. So Chaim Kanievsky, he wrote those down. It's amazing he wrote those down even as a way of remembering things. That's intriguing because he seems to have had a minimum above average mastery and knowledge of Torah. His memory apparently was, or whatever was going on, the memory a little bit, was solid. So it's interesting that he still felt the need to write it down when he was at something. He still felt the need to write it down because he had a hard time remembering everything just, you know, at one time, so even while he was learning it out. So he thought that there was still toeles potentially in writing things down. It's an amazing phenomenon. I don't know if it's relevant at all in any sort of real serious way, but it's intriguing nonetheless. It was good enough for him, apparently. Asrei Chelki. There is but I thought that was intriguing. I thought that was certainly intriguing. Another sort of, in case anyone didn't make that connection, if you're like really didn't pick up on it. There is the next point, which is number seven. The next point, which is number seven, is in the introduction to the Sefer Shona Halachos. Shona Halachos, I think, and maybe I'm off on this, I think Halachos used to be a little bit more popular. I think when I was learning, I don't know, 20 years ago, it was a little bit more popular. I don't know how many of us were familiar with the Sefer. By the time, it certainly was, which is again, it's Kol HaDinim HaMivuarim B'Shulchan Aruch HaRechayim B'Mishneh Berurah Bir Halacha B'Shar HaTzion. It's a dinim which come out of Shulchan Aruch, Mishneh Berurah, Bir Halacha B'Chulei. It also is dinim that come out in the Chazon Ish. And a variety of other sort of discussions that are there. Why does he write this? The Toelos HaSefer Limso Kol Din B'Nikla makes it easier to find certain halachas. V'chein Seder Mishneh Lachzor Al Hadinim B'Ktzara L'Hiyos L'Zikaron L'Fanav Tamid. And it's a good summary to be able to have. It'll be easier for us to remember things if we have these sort of organized and written down summaries. Chaim points out in the Hakdama here, in the Hakdama, that when you learn Shulchan Aruch HaMishneh Berurah, you learn halachas here, Shulchan Aruch HaMishneh Berurah, it's very, very hard to keep track sometimes of all the different shittas. The way Mishneh Berurah is structured and built, he's commenting on different parts. He can comment on a din in the Mechaber, and comment on a din in the Ramah. There can be a footnote in Shaar Tzion with a different halacha. There's a bir halacha off to the side. And sometimes in learning Shulchan Aruch HaMishneh Berurah, it can be very challenging to have like a good organized system just to keep track of all the different shittas and what's there. So what he felt, you know, what would be a helpful tool, and maybe I'm not here for a halacha seder, but could be, what he felt would be a helpful tool was to be able to sort of rewrite things in a way that would allow us to have a little bit of a smoother and easier time chazering. The idea of writing shorter summaries that give us an overview of topics, so that becomes very, very important also. That becomes something which a person can really sort of take benefit from or be able to learn from by writing down some of these summaries, especially with more challenging limudim, with lots of different shitos. There's a lot of different opinions somewhere, a lot of different psukim going on, and to have good written up summaries of things allows us to chazer large areas of Torah in short amounts of time. Large areas of Torah in short amounts of time. First, I remember when I was in yeshiva, there was a guy who was excellent in learning that had wonderful notes on just like really, I think, like hundreds of block Gemara, just really organized as far as like basics of Shaka Vataria and basic dinim and things like that. And he could chazer, you know, Maseches Beitza, 40 block, Maseches Beitza, you know, he could chazer that in an hour. He could go through, not by reading everything, but by going through his summaries, he was able to do that. And the more that you could do that, not in lieu of or instead of, doesn't mean a person's looking up a halacha, it's not important to really get it done, be in well. But the more that a person has those summaries, the more you can sort of chazer large amounts of Torah in a fairly condensed period of time. That if a person has, imagine you would have five important yedios that come up on every daf in Maseches Ketubos. So how long would it take you to go through the first 40 bot of Maseches Ketubos? I don't know, a half hour, just going over those four or five basic things that you would be able to have. And that would be massively beneficial. That would be really important to be able to have those kinds, be able to have access to those kinds of things. Okay. Next point, we're up to number eight, I believe. Number eight, which is interesting. I'll give you this stam an aside, but I thought it was really intriguing. That the Ramah writes in Rechaim, it's in Memchas, and Nagu Hamadaktakim Lisoneya Bishasha Karm Bitorah, Dugmasa Torah Shnistan Bereses. That when a person learns Torah, so it's important that the body moves as a person is learning. The same way the Gemara tells Maseches Brachos, the Torah was already was given over initially in Maimon Har Sinai, the aim of the year, rest of the day, it was given over with a certain kind of awe and fear, certain kind of emotional experience. So it's important that Torah also continues to have that emotional kind of an experience, that we move a little bit. That's the mucker in many ways, this Ramah for shuckling as you learn. So the question some of us may have been wondering about for a long time, which is, when you shuckle, do I shuckle back and forth? Do I shuckle side to side? There's always that question. If you know, like, there's like this guy, and then there's like this guy. So which is really the way to go? These are important questions as far as, you know, clarifying this, or kind of can ask you to maintain that you're supposed to go back and forth like this, not side to side, but back and forth. They point out in the footnotes that part of that may have to do with this discussion in other postgame with the idea of ishtachavaya, of bowing down to Rabbanu, you know, and things like that when a person's learning, and therefore shuffling in general, it's better to go this way than it is to go that way. You can do what you want with that particular piece of advice. That's probably okay, you know, whatever. But that certainly, ideally, that's where you would go. Number nine. Chayyansky has a couple, I think, three volumes of his farm called Siach HaSada. Siach HaSada, I think so. Yeah. That counts. Shuckling, yeah. Number nine. A sefer called Siach HaSada. Siach HaSada is a combination of different, it's a collection of different contrasts that come up. That's where the grasshopper thing is, I think, in one of the, I think in Siach HaSada. I believe that's where it's published. If you want to, like, just, the sefer becomes important because of the Maisa. So in that sense, it certainly has a, you know, you want to at least know where it is. I think it's where it is. So in Siach HaSada, in the back of Chelek Aleph, he wrote a Kuntris Sefer Zikaron, which are all about tips, strategies, and attitudes for relevant to remembering Torah. Ideas important for remembering Torah. And what he does, and this is an eitz of his. It's a discussion stam amongst Achronim. But he points out a couple of things. It's an important perspective, and then we'll share a couple of eitzas. The important perspective, this will be number nine, is that on the one hand, it's important that a person, Gemara tells the Zara, the Olam Ligris Intri Afagav the Mishpach, it's important that a person always learns, even if sometimes they forget. And he quotes, based on the Medrash in Koheles Rabbah, that the idea that we forget Torah sometimes, we all know that can be a little bit frustrating. You're sitting in a shir, and then you forget something, and it's like, I can't believe I didn't remember that. But it does have a certain kind of positive element also. A positive element also, he points out from Chazal, because if a person never forgot their Torah, then the mice of Talmud Torah is one that you would do for a couple of years, one that you would do a little bit. You would then master all of the idios, and our relationship to Talmud Torah would not be there the same way. It wouldn't be cultivating a certain kind of rigor, certain kind of focus. The idea that we forget sometimes is partially built into the system to be mechayiv us to work harder. And therefore, the Torah which we are charged to remember and the Torah which we are charged to learn is a Torah that we need to constantly be working in. And sometimes the frustration is really because the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to have a relationship to Torah which is constant, which requires toil, and where mastery is something which requires a degree of work that is very, very real. It's the Maisa of, I'm aware of the Maisa, Rabbi Emanuel Feldman from Atlanta with the Maisa of years ago. If you're holding, I think Riff Hartman from England, I think Riff Hartman's father in St. Louis, I think, had the same Maisa as a rabbi in St. Louis maybe in like the 1950s. No, not talking about the Tikkun Zohar Maisa. I'm talking about a different Maisa. Not Reb Chaim Kanievsky. That Reb Hartman's father, I think. I don't know Reb Hartman at all, but he is the base of one of the cooler Reb Chaim Kanievsky Maisas there. But I think in St. Louis, where they sort of like, where the community is a community of Amaratzim, and they see the rabbi learning, and they say, oh my gosh, no way this rabbi's for us. He's still learning. Like, he hasn't mastered things yet. Like, he's sitting there with a safe rope and then wanting to fire him over the fact that, like, you know, it's like he still hasn't, you know, he's still doing that. And we all know that the opposite is the case, that the greater people are spending a lot of time learning. And part of the message of Chaim Kanievsky, as far as life goes, but also in print, is that there's always the potential to forget, and it's always a mechayev for us. And because of that mechayev, it sort of reorients us a lot. Tenth and final point that we'll make relates to remembering things. He happens to believe, and he emphasizes this point, he tries to gather there. It's a sefer, which is a collection in many ways, explains and discusses some side things on this, you know, that are actually really intriguing. But he writes, "L'chein re'isi kitov lasov kol dvarim shemuvarim b'chazal shetovim lezikarom." I try to gather and put together all the things that Chazal say that are good for remembering Torah and all the things that Chazal say you should avoid because they can lead a person to forget Torah. And it's a long collection of things to do. Part of that's because the Gemara in Megillah tells us that the idea of remembering Torah is not only a question at all about natural intellect. He himself, Reb Chaim Kefki, is pretty firm in a couple of places about, in Orach HaSdosha and other contexts, that anyone who wants and works really, really hard can become massively successful in Talmud Torah. It's not about natural intellect. But there is an element in particular, aside from the hard work, there is an element in remembering Talmud Torah, which is a function of Siyata Dishmaya. And when a person davens an Ava Rabba or an Atachonin Adam Da'as, that the idea of remembering Torah isn't just a question of strategies, it isn't only a question, it's all of Chazara. Obviously, it's also Chazara, and also about certain strategies, but there also is this Asiat Deshmaya, and Yerushamayim, and Tefillah, and those things can also help a person, and Midos Tovo speaks about, Anava, this is sort of Chaznish in many ways also, that a person who cultivates certain kinds of character traits, and a person who cultivates a sense of Yerushamayim, and a person that davens well to be able to learn, that a person who does all of those things will remember and will be more successful as far as their Talmud Torah. And I think, again, there's like a little bit of an important point. So we spoke about 10 different pieces of information. The some of them focusing on the challenge and the hard work that sometimes gets a little bit easier. Some of it gets easier after you have the habits. Some of it gets easier if you learned it when you were younger. So with the idea of a little bit of healthy batala, of miyatzicha, being able to make sure you have breaks and time to have certain kinds of conversations, the importance of covering ground, but making sure we understand it well, the importance of writing summaries, the importance of writing, that he understood that was something that was considered to be important, again, a chiddush, and again, a lot of just important Torah here about the importance of being able to remember Torah and the like. So Be'ezra Hashem Yisparach, we'll be able to internalize as many of these as possible, to be able to maximize our own Talmud Torah. I'm sorry I'm running out right now, but have a wonderful rest of your night.